There's an epidemic of men's violence, screams the ABC. Australia's domestic violence crisis is out of control, the fearmongers in the media tell us. All men must take responsibility for this terrible state of affairs, says the PM. And if you don't care about women, you're not an ally. If you're not feeling guilty, gents, you're a sexist, misogynist pig. And we had a so-called national cabinet meeting on Wednesday focused on the issue. They're the meetings that prime ministers and premiers have when they don't actually want to take leadership on an issue so they can share the blame around when things don't work out. Elbow following in ScoMo's spineless footsteps there. So good for the nation. The tragedy of domestic violence is not a myth. It does exist, as it always has. The tragedy of intimate partner homicide is also not a myth. It exists, as it always has. I want to be really clear here. Domestic violence is a terrible thing, and it does impact women more than men because the biology of men is different to women. Men are more wired for physical violence, and when we use violence, we do greater damage. That's not an excuse in any way. That's just the reality. What this show is about today is the use of domestic violence as an issue for political and cultural control. So please keep that very important distinction in mind as you think about what we're putting forward here today. Part of being a good man is keeping your natural tendency to greater violence in check, being a white knight, not an aggressive, dumb thug. Boys who are fathered well or who are smart enough to overcome absent or bad fathering by themselves are taught to use their strength for good, to protect women and children, never against women and children or other men, unless those men pose a real threat. It's a pity we still don't value a lot of these old masculine ideals culturally, but most men in Australia actually do. There are definitely some revolting creeps out there, but the idea that all men have a problem, or Australia has a problem with men generally, and the way we think and act generally is bad, that is nothing but a third or fourth wave radical feminist sexist misandry attack. Or in simple terms, good old-fashioned man-hatred playing out in our media and politics. And folks, it simply must stop. The fact is that the data simply doesn't support the narrative being pushed by the left-wing media and bureaucrats and activists that the problem of intimate partner homicide is getting worse, or that all men are somehow to blame, or that Australia has any kind of toxic male cultural problem. In fact, the data shows the exact opposite. Apart from all the hysteria and feminist marches this week, we also had the latest homicide data released by the Australian Institute of Criminology this week. And this is what it tells us. This is the rate of homicides in Australia per 100,000 people from 1989 on the left of the chart to 2023 on the right. Back in 1989, you had a 1.8 in 100,000 chance of being murdered in this country. Today, it's less than half that. Half. That's massive, and we should be celebrating it. Between the 1st of July 2022 and the 30th of June last year, there were 232 homicides, giving us a rate of 0.87 per 100,000. But what about domestic violence-related homicide? What about intimate partner homicide, the radical feminists will argue? Surely that's gone up. We all know that. I mean, well, actually, no. Homicides are classified into domestic, meaning an intimate partner, a relative, or someone living with you, acquaintance, meaning someone you know not living with you, and a stranger. This chart shows all three types, and the rates from 1989 to 2023 for each type. The dark green line is domestic. The light green line is acquaintance. They have both dropped massively since 1989. The rate of domestic homicide in 2022-23 was 0.3, and the acquaintance homicide rate decreased to 0.24, the lowest since 1989, when it was 2.5 times that. As you can see from the grey line at the bottom, the type of homicide that hasn't dropped is stranger homicide. And the victims of stranger homicide are significantly mostly men. But surely there's something going on. I mean, the ABC's been screaming about it all week. The Sydney Morning Herald, The Age and Nine Media and The Project. I mean, you know, surely they all can't be misleading us, can they? They just had an emergency national cabinet meeting Zoom call. I mean, it must be real. It's probably the gender of the victims. That must be where women victims are on the rise. Oh, no, that's also falling. Most victims of homicide in Australia are still male. In 2023, male victims were 69% of homicides, 171 out of the 232 murders overall. That puts the male victim rate at 1.29 per 100,000, and the female rate is at 0.56, well less than half. And over time, it's just more really good news. Since 1989, the rate of male victimisation halved and the rate of female homicide victimisation decreased by more than half at 58%. So all this good news is just getting a bit too much. How will we demonise men in Australia now if they're the ones getting murdered more and the murder rates are all dropping? This is a big problem for the radical third or fourth wave feminists of sexism against men and general misandry. Whatever will these poor extremist activists do now? Well, maybe we can help them. Let's look at just the intimate partner murders, shall we? There were 38 intimate partner murders in Australia in the 2023-23 year. It's horrible, okay? But Australia has 27 million people. So the chance of being killed by your intimate partner in any given year is 1 in 710,000. How small is that? Well, the chance that you'll be struck by lightning in every given year is approximately the same. So it's kind of small. You can sleep safely and not worry, folks. Of these 38 horrible, I'm not saying they're not horrible, but they, 38 intimate partner murders in 2023, four of them were male victims and 34 were female victims. But the better news just keeps on coming. The female rate since 1989 has plummeted. And again, even the male rate is down. So this is simply not a major national crisis, as tragic and truly sad as the individual stories might be. We focus on the tragedy of individual stories because we're human and we're not psychopaths. We have empathy. Even one is too many, cry the radicals. Yes, that's true, especially if someone you know and love is sadly the one. But it's like the tens of thousands of cancer and heart disease deaths every year, or the 3,000 male suicides. It's the tragedy of life. And grown-ups realise that government can't necessarily fix it. Whether we react to life's horrors by throwing billions of dollars of our national wealth at a problem has got to be considered using our rational, not our emotional, brains. And this narrative just isn't holding up for the feminists and interest groups who want that money and those resources, I'm afraid. But they know that they've got an emotional ace to play. And they can easily make any politician or journalist or news commentator who resists their narrative look totally mean-spirited and evil. Believe me, I'd rather ignore the story and get more viewers and be more liked. But we can't. I do this show for grown-ups to cut through the emotion and try to work out what's right. When the data, that means reality, doesn't fit the narrative that they want to push, the feminists never say, oh, okay, you're right, my bad, sorry. They just double down on the emotion. They get into the abuse hurling and shout twice as loud to drown out the facts and reality. And if a man like me dares to present data like this, they will shout me down and call me all sorts of vile names. Well, I'm sorry, but the data just doesn't back up the hysteria. It doesn't support your marching in the street. It just doesn't. It's a real Ben Shapiro, the facts don't care about your feelings issue. The Australian government already has a 10-year, $2.3 billion gendered violence action plan. That was already highly questionable as a use of public money and resources. Now they're throwing another 900 million plus after their little national cabinet meeting on Wednesday. So it's $3.2 billion now. That's a lot of money. Way too much in my view, when we have so many other urgent issues and are in so much national debt already for a problem that seems to be decreasing, not increasing. But of course, we're not allowed to say that as men. But hang on, maybe we are improving, but we're really bad by world standards. It's Australian men that are the problem, that all that toxic masculinity in our macho Aussie culture, right? No, wrong again, sorry. This is a map of all countries by murder rates. The dark green ones are the countries with the far lower rates. And look, Toxic Masculinity Australia is, it's dark green. We're in the less than one in 100,000 category with China, where you've got more chance of being killed by the government than anyone else, and Spain, Portugal, and Italy, those Latino countries where men are well known to be very shy and retiring when it comes to expressing their sexuality, not. Nope, this narrative is an absolute dog, feminists, but they will keep pushing it, and our media and pollies will keep lapping it up. Why? Because you can't stand up against it without looking like crap. So they're all too gutless to stand up and be the first ones to speak the truth. But somebody has got to have the courage to do that, or it's just going to get worse and worse. Do you? If you like that content and you want to watch more, join us at adh.tv for all of our great content. But also, if you watch here on YouTube, hit that subscribe button and that bell. Subscribe here if you like, or watch full episodes here. All of it helps us, and we will make sure that the awful conspiracy theory about YouTube and Google suppressing right-wing content is completely ended forever.